Shalom and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be covering the third chapter of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. This is a very interesting dialogue which occurs. It is really the setting of the scene of change. We're going to be dealing with the rise of Shmuel and the dimming of Eli. So it starts with the perek starts off with an introduction, telling us that Shmuel was serving in the Mishkan, and in these days there wasn't so much nevuah. Not so many people were getting spoken to directly by God, and that was really a tone of the times. That's because just the way things were, the level of the people, the level of the leaders, and everybody's going to sleep. Eli is going to sleep. Shmuel, his surrogate son, is going to sleep. And at this time, the Tanakh tells us that Eli's eyes are weakening, so he's growing visually impaired in his old age. But the candles haven't yet gone out on the menorah. It sounds like the Ne'emar Ravi, and they're all going to sleep. In the middle of the night, Shmuel hears a voice. Hashem calls out to Shmuel. The first time God speaks directly to Shmuel and says, "Shmuel." Shmuel jumps up and says, "Hineini," and he runs over to Eli and he says, "Eli, did you call me?" And he says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." Then as he's going back to sleep, he hears the voice again. "Shmuel." He jumps up and he says, "Hineini, I'm here." He runs back to Eli and he says, "Eli, did you call me?" And he says, no, I didn't call you." Third time it happens. He runs up and he says, "Eli, did you call me?" And Eli realizes that this is actually a divine voice speaking. And he says, "My son, when you hear the voice again, respond the following by saying, Daber Hashem, speak, O God, ki shomea avdecha, that your servant is listening." And that's what he does. And he goes back to sleep and he hears the words, "Shmuel, Shmuel." And he says, "I'm listening, your servant is listening, O God." And Hashem gives Shmuel his first prophecy, his first dialogue. And that is, Hashem tells him there's going to be a terrible event which is going to occur, which anybody who hears about it, whoever hears about this event, their ears will ring. A terrible calamity is about to occur. This is referring to the imminent destruction of the Mishkan that Hashem is talking about. And he says, on that day, I'm going to destroy the house of Eli. On the day that this terrible event's happening, the house of Eli will be destroyed because I'm judging his family eternally. And I'm going to curse him and his children because he didn't, like Habom, he wasn't sharp enough against them. And therefore, Hashem says he is not going to ever be able to sacrifice again as the lead Kohanim, he and his family. And that was the end of the prophecy. Shmuel goes back to sleep, and in the morning he goes about his regular business. He opens up the shades, he's getting everything set up, and Eli comes over to him and says, "Shmuel, what did you hear last night?" You can imagine the situation Shmuel feels like. You know, here he is, the bearer of the first prophecy, which went to Eli, not to him, and now Eli's saying, "Tell me what it is," and the prophecy is about the doom of Eli. So Shmuel's clearly hesitant, and Eli threatens him with a shvua. He says, Hashem should do such and such if you don't tell me. And he tells him everything that happened. He didn't withhold anything. And just in such a powerful moment, tragically, Eli says, "Hashem hu atov be'ein av yaseh." Hashem does what's good in his eyes, meaning here is the destruction slated for him and his entire family, and he says, "Hashem is good." That's, I mean, just to be able to swallow that tragedy is really, really hard to imagine. And the Perek really concludes now with the last three psukim by saying that Shmuel now, from now on inwards, gets a lot of nevuah. And he grows immensely. A statement is made about Shmuel here, "V'lo hipil mikol dvorov arzo." There was no word that Shmuel said that fell to the ground, which means to say that Shmuel is going to be one of the most reliable prophets in all of time. There's going to be something very powerful about Shmuel. We'll track this through. None of Shmuel's words were empty. And he became known from the north to the south. And slowly prophecy started opening up again. Shiloh started becoming the place where prophecy once again did reside, as it hadn't in the times of the terrible leadership of Hophni and Pinchas. Just a few things to note on this perek, going back a few points to ponder, which are in this particular perek. We're told that Eli is going blind. Why do we need to know that Eli is going blind? The Radak says it could be referring to the metaphoric inner eye. As Eli is growing older, he's losing his spiritual vision. As he loses his spiritual vision, but the candle, the representative candle isn't out yet. It is the candle of Shmuel as being lit. And that's what this perek is about. That's what metaphorically is going on over here. The Radak also adds, we see that when Yitzchak grew old and he had a child who was not walking in his ways, who was Esav, he lost his eyesight too. Similarly, over here we have Eli, whose children are not walking in his ways, and he's losing his eyesight in a certain sense, part of the legacy of his vision of the future, which is being which is disappearing over here. It's strange also to think about the Maharal, quoting the Ma'ariv Korah, says a very interesting thing. Why is it that Hashem needs Shmuel to sort of enter the conversation for the prophecy to happen? Why can't Hashem say, Shmuel, here's the prophecy and that's it? So the Malbim says, no, he was setting it up in such a way that he wanted Shmuel to have to run to Eli. He wanted Eli not to hear it, but to have to hear it through Shmuel. This was another way of giving the message to Eli himself through his student. And this, in fact, corroborates exactly what happened with the Ish Elohim, the prophecy of that man of God who already just told Eli about the imminent tragedy. And in fact, the Mefarshim say it was by Yom Ahud, it was on the same day. It was the night after the prophecy. You can imagine Eli is being hit from it by the Ish Elohim, this prophet, during the day, and at night from his own student Shmuel, a very, very powerful and very tragic moment where this is happening, to be told about. One thing which is worth noting over here as we close the perek is that it sounds like, you know, Eli has this, he was a very powerful person. He was a very, very strong person. But somehow his leadership did not transfer to his kids. It transfers, and Shiloh becomes a place of recognition, not through his children, but through his surrogate son. His children, in fact, people who chased people away from Shiloh. We're going to see this. I remember in a conversation with Rabbi Foreman. Rabbi Foreman mentioned a very interesting fact that is, if you look through all of Sefer Shmuel, you'll notice that fathers very seldomly actually have their children as their continuation. It's going to be the surrogate father and the surrogate son who have the continuation. You have Elkanah. Elkanah has a son, but his son doesn't really go to him. It goes to Eli. Eli has his children. The children don't really follow in his ways. It goes to Shmuel. We're going to see with Shaul and Yonatan, David becoming the surrogate son of Shaul. It's going to continue all the way through about who are the children, who are the real children of all these people as we go through Sefer Shmuel. With this, we close. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.